Lord God, please let what I say come from you, through me and out to others. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Now, our scriptures today seem to be linked in an interesting way, and as I read and then reread them, I became aware of some themes that I think, when taken together, give us a really strong and positive message. From Jeremiah, there's a message about generosity and prosperity, telling us really to kind of bloom where we are planted, to live in the present, and not to wait for some far-off future dream, but live your dream now. What Jeremiah says is, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Then from the epistle, the message charged me to remind you to be faithful and to warn you, and I love these words, not to wrangle with each other over words because it does no good and it ruins those who are listening. And the message from the gospel, of course, reminds us to be grateful, and gratitude is really important. Did you know that the infamous they have done some scientific studies? And that those studies show that thankful people have fewer physical ailments and that they sleep better. They tend to be less likely to be aggressive or to struggle with emotions like envy and resentment. And that grateful people tend to have higher self-esteem. And they find that gratitude helps them build relationships. I think it turns out that gratitude is a really powerful antidote for what often poisons our souls. So these themes from all of these different readings, I think they are generosity and prosperity, faithfulness and gratitude. And I want to take just a minute to kind of put them in perspective to where we've been listening to the scriptures over the last couple of weeks. So a few weeks back, I gave a sermon about serving one master. You all remember that one? About you cannot serve God and money. And it talked a little bit about the Jews understanding that they are one people and that they had laws that benefited the whole community. Chiefly, I think what I spoke about was the law about not collecting interest on lending. In other words, you lend somebody something, you get back only what you lent them. What the Jews understood was that if the individuals in the community thrived and helped each other, each individual family, then the whole community would become stronger and more vibrant. They knew that if people helped each other instead of seeking to profit off each other, then everybody would benefit. So if you ask the Jewish people about being Jewish, and I have asked many of them, the answer that they give more often than not about being Jewish is that being Jewish is not so much a religion that they practice. It is a way of life that they live. They're all about prospering for themselves, but they also understand that when everyone in the community has their needs met and then is also prospering, then that whole community benefits. I think that's a really great model for us as Christians as well. Being a Christian should be a way of life, a way of life guided by the teachings of Jesus, who was a Jew. A way of living where we love and respect each other, where we offer hospitality, where we stand up with and for each other, and recognize that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all children of God. We're all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to succeed together, then we need to work together. Jesus is the way, and we need each other. Those ancient Jewish laws intended that we not profit from each other, but rather we profit for each other. It really has led me to be increasingly convinced that greed is the single largest cause of hatred and sin. You know, greed diminishes us. It makes us small. And I think the opposite of greed is generosity. And greed, while it makes us small, generosity grows. Generosity is catching. acts of kindness and generosity can become contagious. And I think that's what we should strive for. So strive to be generous and kind. Strive to be grateful. And start now. Don't wait. Live generously. Be kind. Show gratitude in this moment and in every moment. Love each other. Build relationships that last and support one another. And I think that we really need to respect and recognize the people in our families, our workplaces, our schools, and our neighborhoods, and this parish, all as potential allies. Because if we pull together, we can make the world a better place. I really think we can, for everyone. I think we can make a difference. Doesn't that sound great? Doesn't it? How do we do that, though? Where do we start? That's always the question. It sounds wonderful, but we have to take action if we're to make it happen. And I think that means it has to start inside of us. It has to start in our hearts. And it requires faithfulness. And it requires engagement. Our choices matter. So make mindful choices that reflect generosity and prosperity and faithfulness and gratitude. And make those choices every day. And a little word about mindfulness. I think that we've been given a gift by having those handheld little connectivity devices. Our electronic devices have the power to connect us in ways that are global. That wasn't possible even just a couple of years ago. But like everything in our world, use of these devices needs to be in balance with the rest of our lives. There is such a thing as too much of a good thing. And we need to pick our heads up out of our phones, and we need to look around, and we need to look at each other, and we need to engage with one another. Because we're subject to the laws of nature, and we need to stay in balance. We also, though, need to stretch ourselves and move out of our comfort zones just a little bit. I have trouble with this. You know, some of the toughest battles that I think we fight within ourselves are between what we're comfortable with and what we feel called to do next. Okay, we're in the middle of a stewardship campaign, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, what we're comfortable with, what we need to do next. You know, when I first came to D.C., I found myself at St. Michael's in Arlington, and I was indeed the youth minister there for a couple of years. And when I had first gotten there, I was working for them. I'd been there a little over 6 months or so. I probably put in 15, maybe at least 15 hours a week working with the youth, going with them on different trips, working with them on mission projects. I was actually also their Sunday school teacher. I was there a lot. I gave a lot of my time and talent. Every week, I also put money in that collection plate, faithfully, every week. I was self-employed at the time, however, and what that meant was some weeks I didn't make so much money. Other weeks, I brought in enough money to cover me for 3 months, you know, all the household expenses. But it was kind of one of those up and down things that it took a lot of faith on my part just to know, just keep going. But no matter what happened, I put money in that collection plate every week, and I put it in that plate according to how I did that week. But I never gave less than about $5. So my parish priest approaches me one day, and she says, "Well, Jamie, it's stewardship season, and I was looking, and I noticed that you didn't fill out a pledge card." And I'm thinking, are you kidding? I have a key to the place. I'm here 15, 20 hours a week, you know, and that's, I've got a job. So, of course, I'm contributing. And she said, no, but you didn't fill out a pledge card and officially pledge to the parish. And I said, well, the problem I have with that is being self-employed, never knowing from week to week how much money I can put in the plate. And I was raised to know that I do not want to make a commitment that I do not feel that I can keep. And besides that, cash is fine with me. I don't feel I have a need to, you know, have Uncle Sam give me back something because I gave to the church. Okay, I'm giving that from my heart. I'm good with just the cash. And then began the question. So she says to me, she says, "You feel okay?" I said, "Yeah, I feel fine." She said, "Well, if you weren't feeling well and ended up having to go to the hospital, do you suppose I'd come and visit you there?" Yeah, I think so. And if you ended up being really kind of sick and you ended up having to have surgery or something and went home and were recuperating, do you think that the ladies who put on our fabulous coffee hour downstairs and cook stuff for us for our events, do you think that they'd bring meals to your home? And I'm thinking, yeah, sure they would. Of course they would. And do you think that your kids, your youth group would write you cards and come and visit you and take care of you and make sure that they were there for you? And I said, I'm pretty sure you couldn't keep them away. I spend that much time with them. So, yeah, absolutely. And then she said to me, and what if you died? I'm like, seriously? Where are you going with this? What if I died? She said, well, what if you died? Do you think that this parish would take you and would bury you and would take care of your family? And I said, I don't know where you're going with this, but this is my parish family. I belong here in this congregation, and yes, I think you would take very good care of me, and I think you'd take good care of my family if I died and you had to bury me and they came in from out of town. Yes, I think you do a great job at that. I can't imagine you not. And she said, I'm just checking because it seems like you feel just perfectly fine with us being completely committed to you, yet you have a problem with signing your name on a piece of paper to commit to the church. Uh-oh. I had never thought of it that way. I thought that just the simple act of doing was enough. It never occurred to me that there was going to be a difference if I took that piece of paper and said, I, in writing, will give to this church of my time, of my talent, and of my money. So I started to think, and I said, what's the least amount of money that I ever give, even on weeks I don't make anything? And I figured out that I never put less than $5 cash in that collection plate. Some weeks I put 10 times or more than that, but depending on how I did in my self-employment. So I took that $5 and I said, you know what? There are 52 weeks in a year, but I take 2 weeks vacation. So 50 weeks in a year, that's $250. I know I've given a lot more than that, but I'm sure I can give that no matter what. And so I took the pledge card from her and I filled it out, put my name on it and signed it. And I had no idea that I would experience an actual change in how I felt having finally made a commitment. I know commitment is a really, really big word. We don't like to commit to things, especially as hectic and as harried as we could get in this day and age. It is tough to say, I'm going to commit to one more thing. But it's something that will make a change in you that you can't even begin to expect. Not until you do it. Not until you try it. I encourage you all to try it if you haven't. Did y'all get a pledge package in the mail? There's some in the back if you haven't seen it. I love our pledge cards because on one side it asks for what we all know we need. We need your money in order to stay here in this place. But on the other side, it asks you to please engage in the mission and ministry of this place. If you believe in the mission and ministry of Holy Cross, tell us you're going to volunteer. Show up. Be willing to be with us and to engage with us. Be generous with your time and your talent as well. I love that about the pledge package. So, Advent starts our church year. It's going to be upon us very soon. If I see even one more Facebook post reminding me that there are only 7 more Mondays until Christmas, I think I will scream. But it's coming. It's coming. And we have to acknowledge that. So as I was thinking about that, I said, you know what? I want to take a look back at what Holy Cross has done this year in mission and ministry. And we've done a lot. And we've got a lot that's going to happen in the future. So I thought I'd give you a little kind of a rundown of what you have done this year. Because the church isn't this building. You are this church. Just this past year, you as Holy Cross sent lay Eucharistic visitors to bring communion to those who couldn't make it to church. And you were diligent in praying for people around the globe. You fed over 285 school children in Tanzania, 265 school children in Tanzania through the porridge program. You made over 700 sandwiches for the people at the shelter in Bailey's Crossroads. You provided meals and Easter baskets for 9 families. You gave to the United Thanks offering so they could fund their programs. You filled the weekly Red Wagon with food for Cho. You participated in a youth day of service and worked on a farm. You volunteered, you cleaned up, you planted and watered and have cared for our grounds. You traveled to Dungannon and helped repair homes, and you helped restore hope there too. You traveled to Tanzania and you built a playground, and you built relationships. You made Vacation Bible School possible. You made coffee hour happen, you set up for services, you sang, you cooked, you cleaned, you fixed, you facilitated, you participated in our ministries and in our programs. You collected personal care items for the residents of Jackson Field Home. And you, the children of Holy Cross, tied their Halloween candy for our troops and made Valentines for refugees. You welcome strangers to join us at our fellowship events and concerts, and you welcome newcomers as they join us each week. With your participation in the Art and Soul program and your donations to the starter kits, Pathways to Housing DC, those clients, you are helping to transform their lives. Next week, you will walk in the crop walk to support those who are hungry. And soon again, you will be buying Thanksgiving meals for 9 families. You will put up an angel tree, and you will provide gifts for families and food for families at Christmas. You came together to play and to sing and make s'mores and cook breakfast and make subs and tell stories and share laughter. It's not a complete list. But whenever the staff and the clergy, whose salaries you make possible, provide hospitality, support, and care for parishioners or strangers, you are providing that hospitality, you are providing that support, you are providing that care. You've been a community that is growing and changing and improving because of your ideas and your support. You know, I am really excited about trying to implement some of the rich ideas that came out of our listening sessions and offering some new opportunities for us to engage in mission and ministry. There's some new exciting things happening, and I can't wait. So go about your days in peace. Live generously. Prosper. Be faithful. Be grateful. And as the psalm began today, so begin each day. Be joyful in God. Amen.